Details emerge about one huge pharmaceutical company's huge Chinese headache.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. We already knew that GlaxoSmithKline, the vast international drug company, is under investigation in China for allegedly using bribes to sell its medicine. We already knew the mess began to tumble out when Glaxo executives got anonymous packages with emails purporting to contain information about what might have been going on in China. But now there are details suggesting that the bribes might have been routine. Carrie Gracie, China editor for our editorial partner, the BBC, has managed to see some of the original emails from the whistleblower.
It's alleged that the firm's 2,000-strong sales force in China systematically bribed doctors and hospital officials to buy GSK products, providing them with hospitality, gifts and cash. The emails named doctors and hospitals. GSK told me that when the emails started arriving at head office, the company asked GSK China to investigate themselves. They have now appointed outside lawyers and say they are cooperating with the Chinese authorities.
Beyond the alleged corruption, the Glaxo China case gets even more tawdry. It emerged this week that along with the emails, there was a videotape sent of Glaxo's top man in China, Mark Riley, in an intimate encounter with his girlfriend. Glaxo hired some private eyes to check things out, and as the BBC tells it, things unraveled further.
Two corporate investigators, Peter Humphrey and his wife, Yu Ying Zeng, were also hired to discover the identity of the whistleblower. 2 days later, they were arrested, and they've been in Chinese custody ever since. The couple's son, Harvey, says he hasn't been told where his parents are being held.
He's been kept in such a cramped condition for so long. His arthritis has gotten a lot worse after quite a long period of recovery. And he's suffering from major mental conditions such as memory loss, sleep deprivation.
GlaxoSmithKline said in a statement that it had identified some fraudulent behaviour, but had not found evidence to substantiate the specific allegations made in the emails. However, Chinese prosecutors are preparing charges against the former head of GSK China, Mark Riley.
Carrie Gracie, the China editor at the BBC, with that report. Yes, we are aware it's 4th of July, but let's check the numbers. The 100-share index in London is down less than a tenth percent now. The Dow Jones Industrial Average went into the holiday weekend above 17,000. That is a milestone for the not-adjusted-for-inflation average of 30 stocks, 17,068. By the close yesterday, the S&P 500 also closed at a record high of 1975. Orbit over North Dakota from space, and you can see flares erupting from North Dakota, and that's what they do with the natural gas they can't store during this fossil fuel boom. They set it on fire. Yes, what a waste. Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein reports.
Today, oil wells in North Dakota burn about a third of the natural gas that comes when fracking for oil. The state estimates that's like burning $50 million a month. Economist Philip Verleger says it assaults common sense.
Everybody would like to see the end of the burning because it's a tragedy to waste energy.
The problem is drillers have rushed to extract oil and ignored building pipelines to capture the gas. Basically, Verleger says it's cheaper to burn money than build pipelines.
The economics of constructing a pipeline to every one of these large number of wells becomes prohibitive.
This week, state officials, after input from industry, said by the fall, wells must capture 76% of natural gas or be forced to cut oil production. The Western Environmental Law Center's Thomas Singer says everyone knows this flaring is unsustainable.
They recognize that a gold rush in the Wild West, where everybody just goes out and starts poking holes, is really a very wasteful way to develop these resources.
Singer says the test now is to see if the state enforces its own rules. I'm Dan Gorenstein for Marketplace.
Now on to movies and animal welfare. On a complicated movie shoot, it would be at times too stressful for animals to linger for long hours. Also, using live animals is expensive. A feature story now on taxidermy in Hollywood.
It's Sunday morning in downtown Los Angeles, and taxidermist Alice Markham cuts into a thick piece of meat.
Also, where we made our first incision, so along the edges of your skin. See, there's a lot of fat in there.
Markham started her studio, Prey Taxidermy, this spring, and rents her mounted pieces to Hollywood. She recently worked on a photo shoot for Disney featuring Taylor Swift.
And so I did some homing pigeons for them. Bird skin is like working with wet toilet paper with feathers attached. And so it's this very tedious process where you're making all these little incisions.
Animal rights groups criticized Hollywood in recent years after news broke that animals were harmed and even died while filming.
If you want to have a tiger on set, it's a lot safer if it's dead.
Markham says it's a lot more ethical, too. That's something Wayne Carlisi doesn't have to worry about either. He inherited his father's big game taxidermy collection. And in 2012, he opened Art Craft Taxidermy. His company rents out lions, antelope, and birds.
The black crow up there, that was done for Ozzy Osbourne.
He now rents to big companies like Warner Brothers and Paramount. But smaller production companies are also interested in mounted animals.
You almost have no choice but to use taxidermied animals.
That's indie director David Anderson. He used Markham's furry props for his new movie.
And obviously I wasn't going to use a real bear. I'm an independent filmmaker. I can't afford that.
Markham's large pieces rent out for around $1,500. For a live one, it can easily get into the $8,000 range. But is there something lost when we use a mounted animal instead of a live one? Set decorator Kristen Peterson thinks so.
The taxidermied animals don't have as much personality as a live animal.
Live animals just have that Hollywood it factor. But at least the taxidermied animals get a second chance at stardom. In Los Angeles, I'm Shara Morris for Marketplace.
Check out our new show, Marketplace Weekend, with Lizzie O'Leary. Marketplace.org has details. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.